Welcome back to the Lit While Flowers podcast. I'm Wendy Wu.
And I'm Tony Rose.
Today we are back and we are reading an author that we are familiar with. We've covered her last year on season 4. And I am really, really excited to talk about this book. It's by Emily Howard. And it is called Queen Bee. It's a very nice transition from Queen Charlotte into Queen Bee because she is the Queen Bee. So it's really, really great. I just want to put a couple warnings out there first. It is a younger couple. I know some of us don't like that and some of us love that. So you decide where you stand on that. And then also there's kind of like a second chance romance. So there is a... you already know if it's second chance, you got to go to the past. So there's a little bit of past and present. Some of you guys don't like that either. So, but also know that if you are okay with putting that and parking it and letting that just be, it's an amazing book. It is so much fun. It's so good. But before we jump into it, Tony, how are you?
I'm doing all right. It's been a lot of broccoli this weekend. Like 10 days ago, I went to like Costco and I had this list of stuff to get. And then I was walking around and when things almost expired, they put it on like sale. So I bought like broccoli for like $4. It's so the big pack. So I'm like, okay.
Oh.
And I have like about two. So I have one in the fridge and then one in the freezer. I'm like, I'm sure you can freeze it. So
yes,
just to save, instead of like trying to have broccoli for like 10 days straight. But folks, I love breakfast food. I basically just have been having like broccoli oatmeals. If you have any broccoli recipes, let us know.
Broccoli oatmeal.
Interesting. I mean, not broccoli oatmeal. I'm sorry. I've been having broccoli
omelets.
Yeah. I mean, oatmeal before this recording. So that's why I said oatmeal.
I was like,
that's weird.
No,
that's too weird.
No, it's nothing is ever too weird. You should know that. We read about orcsies and things. So nothing is too weird. If you like it, you like it.
You want to amp up your fiber in your oatmeal, add broccoli.
Oh, bro, you'd be fucking shitting for days.
And before the shitting, it's the farting.
Yes. You know what it is? It is, you're just announcing to everybody that it's on its way. You're just letting everybody know that, hey, it's coming.
And you're regular.
And you're very regular. And there's nothing wrong with that. So it's fine. But... That sounds fun. Broccoli.
No, I love broccolini.
Broccoli is delicious.
Yeah. And it's been my rice too, so, which is fine. I've done it before.
Oh, like, that's right.
Where I got rid of rice. I think it was for Lent. And then I'm like, okay, let's keep going because I want my tummy to get smaller. But yeah, any broccoli recipes, easy ones, folks. That I can whip up, then let us know.
I only know beef broccoli.
Oh, but then I have to go get beef.
Yeah, I know. There's
or
that.
Or defrost beef. I'm like,
Nah.
I don't have to defrost eggs. So
that's true. Very, very
unless
true.
It is.
Yes. I love it. I love it. Well... We are firmly seated back into our historical romance life. We've had an amazing ride the first 6 months and or 5 months of contemporary fantasy and other. Like we just had a really, really fun time with that. And we are very, very happy that the HarperCollins strike is over and we are back. We love, 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 obviously, historical romance. But it's also been a fun 5 months to dive into some of the authors that we love that are in other genres, including an author who does both contemporary and historical romance. So it's been really, really great. Very, very happy to be back in historical romance. I think this is what we're more comfortable talking about. We thank you all for just bearing with us for these last 5 months while we stutter our way through contemporary fantasy and everything like that. It was new for us. It was a challenge. And it does feel very, very good that we supported the cause. So it was the littlest thing that we could do on our part to side with the workers. So we are in 1817. We are firmly in the Regency era. And yeah, it starts off with us meeting Lyra, and she is getting ready. She's very nervous. She has a list of things that she needs to accomplish because her life was stolen from her. And obviously, we want to know what and we want to know how. So I'm very glad that Emily like went back and forth so that we can see the depth of everything. And so she's just getting ready and she's like, I'm gonna take down my ex-best friend. And it was kind of like Mean Girls kind of vibe, right? But like she was gonna do it on her own. She was just like infiltrate, like make friends, infiltrate and destroy them from within. And you know, that's what we learned in Armageddon, right? So it's like the scientist's analogy is just kind of like if you pop or burn or have a firecracker explode near your hand, sure, you're going to get burned. There's going to be a little bit of damage, but it's fine. But if you put the firecracker inside your palm and you close your palm, you lose your whole hand. So that's kind of what she's doing. She's going to infiltrate the inside. She doesn't want them to be slight. She doesn't want Poppy to be slightly humiliated. She wants to take her down. She wants to take away the life that she has stolen from Lyra. It sounds very sinister. It sounds very crazy, but it's so much fun. And what she did not plan for was making friends along the way. So her lady's maid knows her entire plot. So that's very helpful. You don't have to go around someone when they know your entire plot. And her chaperone, Miss Birdie, or Lady Birdie, is recommended by Church and is pretty much in the thick with the ladies that can get her into Almax. So they plant the seed. She's an heiress. She's hella rich and ain't nothing better than a young, rich, fertile heiress, right? That's what everybody wants. And the reality of all of it is there is a lot of, you know, people in the aristocracy that are dying off and are not very rich. And that's kind of her family. Her family came from a very unrich situation. And, you know, we flash back and it just originally it seems like, wow, Poppy is really, really good. And then I was like, is this all a misunderstanding? Is this all going to be like she's going to be great? And then as the chat flashbacks keep going, you start getting the sense that no, this woman is awful. And she is not okay with not being a lady. So she very much loves the notoriety and all that stuff that she gets out of being a lady. And Lyra made the unexcusable faux pas of becoming friends with her neighbors. And it was very natural. They clicked and she meets him in a ribbon shop where she compares someone to buttercream. And, you know, it was the cutest meet cute. And then there's like chess involved, everything like that. And she, you know what? She just has to share everything. So she's just like, what if I just get to keep this for me? You know, this is just for me. And, you know, she was feeling really selfish about it. And there's times where she was like going back and forth between her revenge plot that, you know, like how much of this did she do to herself? But yeah, she doesn't introduce Poppy, and Poppy, all she wants to do is be introduced to this guy And because she is like, I'm going to marry a duke just to see, because she's so stinking rich. Her family is super, super rich. Meanwhile, Lyra's past life family is they're doing lots of business and not making any money. So this kind of sets us up. And when Poppy finds out, she's like butt buddies with the girl, the sister, and then on a first name in public basis with the guy, she was like, I will never forget this, and you will pay for this for as long as I live. And it just starts kind of spiraling out of control. The things that Poppy does and turns this whole area against her. And in the present day, you know, she grew 6 inches. She filled out her curves. She's been dyeing her hair. So she's pretty much unrecognizable. And everything that she does pretty much works. You know, she makes friends. And unfortunately for her, her Lord Ridiculous is even more handsome and more better than she remembers, and just still gives her all the feels. And so that does make things a little bit harder, but it is also part of the plan. Is still the king. It's all chess moves. Every chapter has Machiavelli quotes to it. And but everything is a chess move. It's just steal the king and then destroy everything, right? So that's kind of how everything starts. And she's doing a really good job. No one recognizes her. Her plans are going really great. She gives Poppy a pastry filled with mayonnaise. Hey, I love mayonnaise, but that sounds so disgusting when you're not ready for it. When you're expecting a like cream puff, and you bite into it because everyone's biting into it, and it's just mayonnaise. And the way that she was describing how mayonnaise tastes back then, gross. And I don't even know what the refrigeration situation is back then, so the thought of it just makes me super gag. But and Poppy was like, "Oh, you must have loved that." She's like, "Of course not. I wouldn't even wish that on my worst enemy." And then she throws a ball in Poppy's honor, and you know, the whole it's just so good. Everything is very well planned, but as we all know, when you get everything you want, it's not as it seems. And we kind of get that in the flashbacks as well too. And Church is telling her, like, you're choosing to let this run you, you know, you're choosing to let this be your life and your identity. Is that what you want? And she is like, yeah, this is exactly what I want. So, Tony, what did you think of the story?
Lee has this listed as like her young adult, like it's under teen and middle grade books on her website. But so it's different folks. I remember we covered a historical young adult book, like Sarah McLean's. People like, we loved it, and then people weren't ready.
Yeah.
I guess we didn't say it enough that it was a young adult, but we loved it. So same thing, love this one. It's so funny. And at the end, in the author's note, Omni does mention that it is like anti-historical because it is multicultural, which I love. I mean, we see it in Bridgerton and Queen Charlotte right now, and we love that. I love that. It's LGBTQ plus positive in this book.
Yes.
I think it's hilarious. I'm usually not a young adult reader, but when there's revenge in it, then I'm all for it.
Right.
Like it just hits different. Because usually there's a mix of like teenage angst, like innocence, creativity, and like just freaking sheer determination. So it makes the book like savage yet funny.
Yeah.
Only like teenagers can come up with crazy stuff like mayonnaise. Like that was hilarious. It was written where it came out of nowhere, but it's so clever. So overall, like, I really love this book. I think it was just savage and fun.
I you know, that pastry scene, because I am a disgusting human being, and I didn't know this was like a YA book, you know me, I'm just gonna read it. Mm-hmm. And I literally, when she was like starting to gag and said that she threw up on one of the her ladies in waiting's gowns, I dead ass, like, I don't know if you saw Van Wilder. there's this scene where they basically fill puff pastries with bulldog semen.
Ew.
And I know it's disgusting. It's really gross. And so I didn't know why, but I immediately thought of that. And then so that's when she was like, oh, it's mayonnaise. And I was like, still gag, but it's not bulldog semen.
Oh my God.
It was crazy. I don't know. Have you seen that movie?
I don't remember that part.
He sends a basket of it to Tara Reid's like ex-boyfriend's fraternity, and it just says they just thought it was from the girl sororities, so they all bite into it and eat it. Oh God, I'm just kind of gaggy just thinking about it. But
I think it's not just there's a lot of Ryan Reynolds movies that have like some kind of weird stuff like that, like some trick like that.
Yeah,
even like in Waiting, they put yes. the boobs in the burger.
Yes, that's why I love them. I love him so much. But yeah, so mayonnaise isn't so bad compared to bulldog semen. But I'm just gagging thinking about it. But I just really love it, and I just love how clever and how well done everything is. And you know, and when I was reading it, there's very subtle hints on like other things that were happening. And I really, really appreciated that. And I love a well-planned revenge plot. And I love that when it's like executed flawlessly. I don't know why I was getting also bad teacher vibes. Like, you know, like it's just, I don't know, the whole like playing it. It was just really good. I love that, like I mentioned earlier, that her ladies maid like knew everything and helped her. And also at some point was just like, let's go. Like, cause it started feeling unfulfilling. Right. And, as revenge usually does, because it's sparked from emotion. So it's a reaction. And most of the time, sometimes it doesn't, like Ocean 11, but like other times, like most times it gets to you. Right. And it's not as fulfilling. And her ladies' maid was like, then let's fucking get out of here. Like, you don't owe nobody nothing. No one knows you here. Like, they don't need to know what happened to you. And then she's like, ooh, it's that boy, huh? I see the way you look at him and the way he looks at you. And, you know, just to complicate matters even more. But what to you is your favorite part, Tony?
Poppy, the villain of this story, like, she's written so horribly. I love it. Like, her character is written so well. So
I love that she was one dimension. Originally I was like, I think this is all a misunderstanding. And because she was so sweet to her mom, but then the more that the past was being revealed, I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, she's so conniving and smart, you know? And she too thought about that, infiltrating from the inside, right? So it's just like, I originally was like, no, there's
it's because like, we love a really good redemption story.
But yeah, I was like, this is a second chance friendship too, right? Like, that's what I was like thinking. And then as it was going on, I'm like, fuck this hoe, fuck her, no. I was like, whatever. So, oh my God, I think my favorite part is her like determination and how well planned out this was. But as soon as she saw someone who needed help, she immediately jumped in. Even if it meant going sideways on her plan, which meant like actually making friends with someone, actually like falling for someone, her real self was still there. You know, when she saw that her essentially someone that she is supposed to be using is at her own birthday ball, has her first dance with her cousin. She like went in and intervened, and she knew it. She's like, I shouldn't do this. And she's like, yeah, whatever. So she like walks over and she fixes the situation. So even, you know, Lord Ridiculous, he was just like, and then he kind of like looked around and he was just like, fine, a favor for a favor, you know? And I was like, ooh, smooth operator, you know? I was like, okay, I see you, boy, you know? And then the next time that she's at his house and the mom is like, he's told me so much about you. And she's like, and like just that whole sequence of events, and then she just like telling Lady Birdie, like, I'm sure he's just like a spoiled little mama's boy who tells his mom everything, and then he's like right there, he's like, ooh, harsh, you know. I love all of that.
And the Lord Byron scene was funny too.
Yeah.
Like Poppy was thinking she was like so into like all the dramatics of saying this supposedly lovely poem, but someone switched it out, and it was really funny because she just kept going.
She's an idiot. She really is.
And it was something like nefarious and salacious. It was too funny. She just kept going until and people were laughing too. She still kept going, but whatever. Good for her.
I could like see all this being played out, and it's so great.
Yeah, the nerve that she has, like to
oh my just, god, like, be the audacity. Yeah,
it's literally so good.
It's so good. Amazing. And you know what? As Lady Danbury would say, just desserts to what happened to her in the end. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I think what was your most cringy part?
It happened almost twice, like one and a half times, like when Tez didn't believe her when they were younger. Yeah. I mean, he explained, but at the same time, like if you meet a really good friend and you make a really good connection, like you have to put certain feelings aside and like really look at them and see like, well, is that thing that was, is that rumor like a real scandal or is it not? And then they lost each other after that because of things that had to happen. But like that's like the worst, when someone you believe you have a connection with and like is a friend, even the best friend, and then a rumor happens and
she's the cunt.
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck is it? Like you're wondering like, why, you know, doesn't he believe me and all that stuff. And as teenagers, like that hurts. And then for her to have lost friend already and feeling lonely and everything, and I don't know, I just felt bad for her. But and then of course your nemesis has to be there to see everything go down, where your friend like is not believing you. That whole scene sucked, and it was gonna happen again almost. At least the second time around, she took back her power. She's like, I'm different now, I stand up for myself now.
Yeah, so, and others.
Yeah, and others, yeah. And I'm stronger now, not like before. So I can say whatever they want. I'm still going to the theater.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'll still be
around. I'll even let you know what box I'm in, too, so you can look at me, bits. I think for me, my cringy part is, it was like the first flashback of the fallout with Poppy. And it was the village. She was like making fun of her, and like she spread all these rumors and lies. And oh god, I just hated that. And then finally, she, you know, and it only does take like one person to be on your side and one person to believe you. So when Lord Ridiculous and his sister join her into like this dance, and then the dad shows up, holy shit! I was just like, oh no, this is about to be really bad. And you know, we find out in the next scene that it is. He's just like, I can't see you anymore. He calls her kind of like a gold digger. And it's just kind of like, you know, like, I know your ass trying to trap me. She's like, what are you talking about, you know?
Yeah, they came out of nowhere. I'm like, what?
Yeah, and you could tell that that's what the lecture was from the dad, which is really sad, you know? And like, it was really hard. I felt so bad for all of them, you know, for him as well as her. Oh gosh, I hate it.
And, I sort of like the structure about this book, the chapters, how, you know, if it's like about Ella, then it's about her past. And at the beginning of the chapter, it says it's Lyra, so it's about her revenge.
Yeah. Yes. So, I love that.
But it is like all of those flashbacks, pretty much when you read them and you learn more of what had happened in the past, like it adds layers to
it's very necessary. And how far this woman will go to destroy people.
Mm-hmm. And how far like Ella has come in the future, like how far she has to like climb and bring power back to herself and stuff.
Yeah, I love that she chose her name Lyra, and like part of it is lie. Yeah. You know, it's just it's kind of crazy. But yeah, I love it. And you know, sometimes really, really bad shit happens. It changes your entire course of your life, you know? But then sometimes if you stop to think about it, you might be in a better place. And it's fine. She needed to get away from that small town. She needed to get away from Poppy. And you know, she got, now she has real friends and a mentor, and you know, just like a lot of great things. And I'm just really, really happy for her. And obviously we knew it was all going to work out in the end, but you know, the how we get there part is always what's interesting. And yeah, I just, you know, don't want to be too spoilery. When did this book come out, Tony?
April 4th.
Nice. I don't want to get too spoilery just in case you guys haven't had any time to read it. But it is a gorgeous cover. The cover is stunning and it is very diverse, and there is themes that are not realistic to, or as far as we know, not realistic to what was during that time. So keep an open mind with that, and as well that it is a considered YA book, but it shouldn't deter you. This book is so amazing. Tony, if they haven't read this book, if they haven't read Emily Howard, like, why should they read this book? Why should they read her?
This book has, like, the sarcastic voice.
Right? I love it so much. So good.
So whenever a plan works out well, of course, Lyra, she has to, of course, act like, what? What happened? Are you okay?
Yeah, seriously, she's so good.
It's so funny. But yeah, it's funny. Let's just stop there. It's funny and savage, like I said earlier. And I just love it. And for those who watched a lot of comedy, like, I guess, romance comedies, like, you're going to enjoy this.
Teenage rom-coms, yeah.
Yeah, teenage rom-coms. For sure. Yeah, you're going to love this a lot.
I agree. So. Oh, so, so good. But yeah. And nothing is better with revenge than a little shum shum to drink. So we will be right back with our Pottail Pottery.
Thank you.
Welcome back to our Pottail Pottery. And what are we drinking?
So we're going through the Bridgerton themes, the Republic of Tea box that came out last year. And this one is the Anthony and Kate Spice Chai. So this is described as all is fair in love and war.
Indeed.
This medley of exceptional black tea and exotic spices steeps a rich and formidable cup, best sipped when spirited scheming and taming wicked rogues are on the agenda. Part of what happened.
Yeah.
Prepare this chai the traditional method, accompanied by warm milk, a touch of honey, and an abundance of irresistible passion. So you can have it warm, or you can have it poured over ice for a bold refresher. And if you like chai, I love chai. I like this. I did it the way that they said on the instructions, with warm milk and honey. And it's not overwhelming. Some people think chai is overwhelming because there's a lot of spice, which I love, but with the milk, like it adds like a sweetness. So it mellows each other out. It's lovely. I had it this morning before my coffee. But yeah, spice chai. Try it, folks.
Yeah. I have yet to try all of the Republic tea. Which one is your favorite?
I only had the two. The one from last week, I like it because it's honey, and that's the one you could, I would prefer to have it with whiskey. But the spice chai one, like, I usually have chai. I prefer it, like, over ice. So,
okay,
depending Thanks. On how you want it. If you want it over ice or if you want it spiked. And both are great warm.
Yes.
With milk.
Yes. Okay, so we will leave the link in the show notes for you to buy it. The Queen Charlotte version of the tea is also out as well too. But like I mentioned last week, shipping is a very long time, very, very, very long time. So maybe try to find a local store that has it. For us, the refinery carries it, which is very strange. I didn't see the Queen Charlotte one yet, but they did have the regular Bridgerton ones. Yeah, it's delicious. So go try it. I try to ask people on our podcast to see what's like the wildest thing they did out of spite or revenge. And either everybody is just very, very innocent. Or they just don't want to answer, which is also very fair. But we got nothing. We got no responses. So we are surrounded by innocent little babies. And I love that. I love our innocent little smut-minded babies. You know, it's okay. Yeah, so I just wanted to see and kind of gauge. And I think that's what we're going to try to do. So if you guys, and we'll ask permission, obviously, to read your response as well. But whatever that one of the themes of the book is, we're going to try to ask you in our stories. So please make sure to follow us so that you can give us all of your witty, witty answers. So where are we going next?
So next up is Adriana Herrera's newest release, comes out May 30th, An Island Princess Starts a Scandal. So that's book two of the Las Leonas series. Mm. I really enjoyed the first book. It's a band of girlfriends, and they're so funny. So, love it. An Island Princess.
I love. Yes, I love. I love, 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 love. All right, guys. We love you guys so much. Thanks for hanging in there with us. Thanks for jumping back on this historical romance train with us, the one we're most comfortable driving. And, yeah. We love you guys. As always, Little Wallflowers Podcast is brought to you by Frolic Podcasts Network. Find more podcasts you love at frolic.media/podcast. Can't wait to read more of both authors. And we're really, really, really excited to go into this next little couple weeks with Adriana Herrera. And yes, love, 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 love. All right, guys, we love you guys. Have a safe, wonderful week. Hopefully your weather is not as bipolar as ours. Today started off with a crazy rainstorm flood advisory, and now it's so hot and sunny already. So I hope you guys have an amazing week, and we'll be back next week. And if you guys are not following Toni, make sure you're following her at Abad Wallflower. All of our giveaways are on her page. So most recently we gave away ACOTAR series, and we are giving away a signed copy of Queen Charlotte. So make sure you're following her
all
page.
All of them, actually. This upcoming giveaway, Queen Charlotte is autographed. Queen B is autographed. And then I ordered Island Princess autographed. Yeah.
Wow.
It's going to be a good one.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think this is like our little royalty thing that we have, and I love it. I love the theme. So we will be back, and make sure you follow us as well as Toni at Abad Wallflower. We love you guys. Bye.
Thank you, bye.